this morning, those of you that have been attending Wednesday night know that we've been doing a study in the book of 2 Chronicles on Wednesday night. And sometimes I try to avoid going back to those same writings. And I'm not doing these same writings on Sunday morning. But I just couldn't get a release from this message. This was one of those weeks I had to wrestle a bit. And sometimes you wrestle, sometimes you don't. But I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles, to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And I'm only going to read one verse of Scripture, and it's not the shortest verse of Scripture in the Bible, but it is a very short verse. And I'm going to read just that one verse of Scripture. Aren't you glad I'm not going to read 15 or 20 verses like I have in the, like I do sometime and use up all that time? Well, the reason I'm only reading one verse is because I got 5 pages of notes in front of me, and this sermon is 2 hours and 15 minutes long. No, it's not. It's not. But Nathan says we need it. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I want to read just one verse of Scripture. And you'll say, how in the world are you going to expound off of this one verse of Scripture? Well, I hope by the time I get to the end of this journey that you will understand it just a little bit better. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse number 1. The descendants of Judah. Everybody say Judah. The descendants of Judah. Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, and Shobal. The descendants of Judah. Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, and Shobal. I want to preach to you this morning with the thought in mind, the sixth son of praise. The sixth son of praise. If I were to ask this question of you this morning, I'm sure I would get a variety of answers. And more than likely, not to be critical, but most of those answers would probably lean more towards the negative. If the question I ask you were, is everything the same in your life every single day? You would probably say, no, it's not. Some of you may say, well, yeah, it is. But then you would go on to say, well, it's the same old problems, just a different day. Same old letdowns. Tomorrow's Monday. Same old letdowns. Same old heartaches. Different month, different day. Same old heartaches. Same old setbacks. So sometimes it's not the same, but yet it is the same. Sometimes our battles just seem to come day after day, one after another. We have our struggles and we have our difficulties. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it's time that some people get sick. Sick and tired. Sick and tired of being down and out. We need to be sick and tired of being down and out. We need to be sick and tired of continually going through stuff. We need to be sick and tired of going one step forward and taking 2 steps back. We need to be sick and tired of being the tail and not being the head. We need to be sick and tired of being defeated and not being overcomers. Would some of y'all like that? Would you appreciate that? We will never walk in victory until we become sick and tired of being sick and tired. So by getting sick and tired of being sick and tired, that doesn't mean that the issues of our life are going to change. I'm not going to tell you this morning that God is a relationship with God is suddenly going to make your life better. And how many 50 and olders do we have in the room this morning? I know we have a lot that are under. So we got a few 50 and olders. There's some of you just refusing to tell the truth. There was this guy that used to be on TV. It was a comedy variety show. It was called Laugh-In. And there was a long-haired guy. This was at the end of the hippie movement, okay? I'm looking at Jerry when I say the hippie movement. You know. he had long hair. And he wore a suit, 3-piece suit, And he played a ukulele. His name was Tiny Tim. And Tiny Tim used to take that little ukulele and flip his hair back, and he'd sing a song, "Tiptoe through the tulips with me." Listen, I'm not going to tell you, your relationship with God is going to bring you to a place in life where it's going to be tiptoeing through the tulips. But I can tell you this, life is a whole lot better with God than without Him. Amen? So we get sick and tired of being sick and tired. How do we come to that place of not being sick and tired? Well, I believe in what I'm presenting to you this morning is by getting sick and tired, it doesn't mean the issues of life are going to change, but when we get sick and tired of being sick and tired, our response to the matters of life will change. Outlook is everything. When we get sick and tired of being sick and tired, I'm a firm believer that we can praise God in spite of the sick and tired circumstances that we seemingly continually find ourselves in. There's an old song that says, "I praised my way out of trouble." Praise doesn't make trouble go away. But praise overshadows the pain and the difficulty of trouble. So when we get sick and tired enough of being sick and tired, what I'm suggesting and presenting to you this morning is we become, and ladies forgive me, but we become sons, and I'll say sons and daughters, but understand in lineage, in biblical lineage, it's not very often that you saw the recorded lineage of the daughter or of the female. But ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, when we become sick and tired of being sick and tired, we can enter into praise and we can become the sixth son of praise. Now praise is powerful. Praise can call walls to fall. If you don't believe me, you ask Joshua when you get to see him. Read the book. But praise can stop the fury of the fire. If you don't believe me, ask those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Praise can quench the appetites of hungry lions. Ask Daniel when you get to see him. Praise is a producer of victory. Praise is a producer of victory. Victory does not mean that the circumstance necessarily changed, but victory means that you have conquered the circumstance in spirit and in mind and spirit, if you would, and the circumstance is not controlling you any longer, but you are walking in victory even though you're in the lion's den, even though you're in the fiery furnace, even though that there is a massive wall in front of you. Praise makes all the difference in the world. Let me expand upon the text just a little bit, that short verse of Scripture. That verse of Scripture that I read from is a portion of the recorded ancestry of Judah. For those of you that's been on Wednesday nights, you remember we've been talking about the two northern tribes, and then we're talking about the 10 southern tribes, and those being Judah. Judah, this is the ancestry of Judah. This is all taken just after they were taken into Babylonian exile. This ancestry was done for a reason. Historically, it was done for the reason being that if they would cease to exist, if they would become extinct, there would be a record of the ancestry of Judah. How many of y'all signed up for Ancestry.com and spit in one of those little tubes already? Somebody asked me, he says, will you do that for me? I said, sure. They said, well, it's $100. I said, oh, no, I'm not interested. I'm not, you know, I might find out my great-great-granddaddy's somebody I wouldn't want him to be or something. You know, I said, it's interesting, yes, but I'm not going to spend $100 to spit in a tube. Okay? But this recorded for historical purposes, but we also see in this lineage, we see a prophetic message. And I've never seen it before until studying this week. The name of Judah itself means praise. Judah means praise. So as we study this verse of scripture and we find the lineage of Judah here, we find that it's the descendants of praise. Now I want you to notice something. Again, it's not unusual in biblical recordings, in biblical lineage, I want you to notice you find no mention of the mother of any of these five descendants. Wow. It's not totally unusual. It's not bizarre. But when you find that there is no mother, what that says to us, it doesn't say that moms are not important, but we do know there had to be a mother. There could actually have been four different mothers when it comes down to it. We're not certain about that. We don't know that. But there is a mother. The mother had to give birth. But listen to me. Pardon me for expressing this way. I hope it doesn't bother you. But the seed had to come from the dad. Mamas can't have babies without a daddy. Okay? The seed has to come from the dad. The seed of praise came to one or maybe four or five women that gave birth to these sons of praise. Stay with me. The offspring, the sons of praise are given in the verse of scripture we read. The first one is Perez. Perez means breach or divider. The son of praise. A breach or a divider. Now we can look at that and we can think about that. Well, that sounds pretty negative in some ways, a breach or a divider. But listen, I want you to know this. When we enter into praise, when we begin to praise God, He begins to divide some things in our life. He begins to separate some things in our life. The things in our life that otherwise may hinder us from progressing and moving forward in the faith and in our experience with God. If we will enter into praise and we'll begin to praise and we will begin to worship God, God will begin to take the affections that we have for things that may not be sin, but yet they may not be advantageous to us. They may distract us. They may pull our attention away from God. But as we enter into praise and we praise God, it will divide those matters of our life, and we can find ourselves through praise entering into a closer encounter with God than we've ever had. Praise creates a dividing line between you and the enemies and the devices of the enemies. When I read John chapter 10:10, I find that Jesus said, you know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I came that you may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Listen, when we begin to praise Jesus, Jesus will divide us from the things that would pull us down or that would separate us from God. If Jesus' intention for you and I is to have more life more abundantly, that's reason enough to praise Him right there. If you had no other cause. When Satan attempts to derail us from God's plan for our lives, we need to raise up in the praise, or if you would, of Perez, the son of Judah. Perez, the son of Judah, the son of praise that divides. We begin to praise. Praise forms a gap between us and the enemy. When we connect Judah, praise, when we connect with praise, Judah, if you would, it will bring us to that place of the sonship of Perez. It will divide us from the things that are not to our advantage. I gotta hurry up. The second son of praise we see is Hezron. Hezron actually means to surround or to shield. Oh, I love this one. I love some of them. I have to admit, I'm partial. I love some of the sons better than others. Hezron, to surround or to shield. When we read Isaiah chapter 59 and 19, we find there that praise will produce a shield. Praise will protect us. Praise will guard us. When the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. A standard is a shield. It's a buffer. It's a covering, if you would. It's a surrounding. And you remember we talk about that hedge of protection? Lord, build that hedge of protection around it, you know? Yeah. But the reality of it is, when we begin to praise God, when we can praise God in our circumstances, there is a shield and there is a surrounding that will be built up around us. Psalms 91 said, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The shadow is the shield. It's the surrounding of the that comes from God that we enter into through worship and through praise. Understand with me, when we read Ephesians 6 and 16, that praise, it is essential in blocking the fiery darts of the wicked. Praise will shield us. It will surround us and it will shield us. True praise will create a shield that will protect us. So even when the storms are raging, when everything bad is going on, if we can discipline ourselves and we can teach ourselves that in all things I will praise the Lord, and we will worship Him and we will praise Him, He will surround us with His presence. Praise will take us into the deeper places of God, into the deep recesses of God, into the Shekinah glory of God, if you would. Our praise can take us into the holiest of holies. Listen, when we hook up with Hezron, the son of praise, we find there, when we praise in that Hezron spirit of praise, if you would, that we are shielded from the targets or from the fiery darts of the enemy that would like to target us. The third son is Carmi. Carmi is the vine dresser, the harvester. Vine dresser is a little bit different than a farmer. Farmer plants his own crops and harvests his own crops. But a vine dresser reaps the harvest of somebody else. That's a word right there. Some of y'all didn't get that. The farmer harvests the crops that he plants. But the vine dresser reaps the harvest for somebody else because he works for the owner of the vineyard. But neither the farmer nor the vine dresser can just harvest at their leisure. In order for there to be a harvest or to glean the harvest, it must be gleaned at the time of fruition. Now, some of us have been maybe struggling for a long time. We talked about this in life groups this morning. I don't have all the answers. I used to try to. I thought I was supposed to, but I don't have all the answers. I can't explain why your journey's been miles and miles and years long. I can't explain that. I don't have any answers for you other than we live in a sin-cursed, fallen world. But the truth of the matter is this. If we will continue to praise God, no matter if it's been five minutes, 5 days, 5 years, or 50 years, if we will continue to praise God, the time of harvest will come. And when the time of harvest comes, praise is going to lead us into the harvest, and we're going to reap a harvest that we're undeserving of. So even praise Him in the rain, praise Him in the snow, praise Him when the sun comes up, praise Him when the sun comes down, praise Him when everything's going good, praise Him when everything is at its worst. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, and as we pray, continue to praise Him, and we faithfully praise Him, the time of harvest will come. You know, the modern day church, we We have a word for that. We call it favor. Especially TV ministry and what have you, we hear so much about walking in the favor of the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. You want the favor of the Lord? You want to be able to walk through the fiery furnaces. You want to be able to walk through the lion's dens. You want to be able to conquer the walls of Jericho. You want to be able to kill a giant with a rock. You want to be able to do all those things. You know, and you two things. You got to let it happen in God's time, and you got to be faithful to praise Him. You got to be faithful to worship Him. Praise Him. Lord, I want to praise You. Don't matter what. Lord, I don't praise You, even though everything is going the opposite way that I've been praying for. Lord, I'm going to praise You. I'm going to worship You. I'm going to give You glory. I'm going to give You honor. I'm going to give You praise. And when the harvest time comes, guess what? You're going to be ready. You're going to be ready. Fourthly, the fourth son of praise was named Hur. You might remember this guy. Hur actually means nobility. And it means to be at liberty. Hur, not H-E-R, Hur, H-U-R, Hur. Hur. Hur, you may remember a guy named Moses. Moses could tell you a whole lot about Hur. Because when Moses got tired, and his arms began to come down, and the enemy began to prevail in battle, there was a couple guys come along to help. One of them just happened to be the son of praise. The son of praise. Hur. Say, hey, old Moses, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to lift up your arms in praise. I tell you, I ain't got no hair on my head right now, but if I did, I could feel it standing up. I might be a bug crawling. I don't know. I feel it standing up. I'll lift up your arms in praise, Moses. I'll raise you up, and I'll hold. You may be getting tired. You may be getting weary, but I'm going to lift you up in praise. You know, you and I, we can be that kind of worshiper. We can be that kind of praiser. We can lift people up in praise. Hur, he was the guy that assisted Moses as Israel was freeing from Amalek. And he held up Moses' hands, and as he held the rod, and they prevailed in victory. Praise. Hur is the son of praise, will produce liberty in your life. Praise will bring us into that place of liberty. Let me tell you something, what Hur will do. If we will praise in the spirit of Hur, if you'll allow me to phrase it in that way, if we will praise in the spirit of Hur, the spirit of Hur, that praise will bring us into a place of liberty. What you may be bound up to others, you may be bound up. Let me testify to you right now. When I first got saved, I was a rascal with a capital R. Was. John said was. I still am sometimes, you know, I guess. But I was a rascal. You know, I was a mean rascal. You know, slightly mischievous. And when I first got saved, I wasn't a church boy, okay? Y'all know that. Most of you do. I went through some of that Episcopal religion, but I didn't understand anything about it. I had very little knowledge about the Word of God. And the first communion service that I was ever in my life, as a Christian, I was scared to death. Scared. S-K-E-R-T. I was scared to death. Okay? Now somebody said in communion service, if you drink of this or eat of this unworthily, you don't die. I didn't realize that the blood of Jesus is what made me worthy to participate in Holy Sacrament. Took me a lot of years to actually figure that out, to be honest about it. Not that I would be dishonest. But I would not take communion in the church that I was attending at that time because there were people in that church that knew me. And I later told some of those people, they said, we noticed you never take communion. Why don't you take communion? I said, I don't take communion because you know who I am. You know me. You know where I live. You know how I've lived. I used to run around with your son and so forth and so on and so on. I said, so you know all about me. So what I discovered is that I was being, if you would, bound by what I thought was the opinion of others. But when we begin to praise the Lord, and out of the spirit of praise, and out of the spirit of worship, we begin to worship the Lord and praise Him, He will set us at liberty from the opinion of others. He will set us free from our past. He will set us free from all condemnation. He will release us and set us free. Now listen, there's nothing in life that is free in essence except our salvation. But the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If you're set free by the Son of God, if you're set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, let me tell you something that you are set free to do. You're set free to praise Him. It's not about where you've been, what somebody has thought of you in your past, or any of that stuff, but it's all about praising the Lord because He has set me free. He has set me free. Glory to God, He has set me free. And when we understand that we can praise and praise in liberty, God will bless us. Son number five. Shobel. Shobel means producer, wonder, traveler, pioneer. He's the son of praise. He's the fifth son of praise. But he has several meanings. But the more prominent in there are, one of them is yielding. In other words, praise offers the ability of producing. Anytime you say, I can't, praise will say you can. When you say, I can't go through this, praise says you will make it through it. When you say, I can't do what God's asking me to do, praise says you can. When we begin to look at Shobel, the producer, the wonder, the traveler, the pioneer, but we think about the producer, producing is yielding, which means producing fruit, if you would. Praise will produce fruit in your life. Second and third meanings are actually synonymous, wonder and traveler. And when we begin to think of that, provision comes out of praise, and it's provision that is good for the journey. Let me tell you, for a long time I wouldn't get saved because I said, I can't do this. I can't live it. And I want to tell you what that was. That was the truth. Because I found out, because I tried to quit my cussing. Because I'm not giving over to cussing Christians too much, okay? I tried to quit my cussing and all the other stuff that I'm not even going to mention. Okay? I said, Lord, when I'd go out in the barn and I would talk to the Lord. I said, Lord, when I can quit all this stuff and know that I can live right, then I'll get saved. And for years, I went out in that barn. Old barn's still standing. Part of it's fallen in. But it had a dirt floor in it. And I'd come out in a hot summer like we've been having. I'd be able to go in there sweaty. And I'd come out. I'd look like a mud baby. I'd come out with all that dust stuck all over me where I wallered around in the floor praying. But you know what? I found out I couldn't do this without Jesus. I found out I couldn't live it without Jesus. I found out that I'm still a work in process even this morning. But you know what I've learned to do? Is even though I might, I'm not made it all the way from point A to the proverbial point B yet. I've not made it from the beginning to the end. But let me tell you something. The journey sometimes is long. The journey may sometimes be hard. The journey may sometimes be difficult. But let me tell you what I can do. It may cloud up and it may rain on me today, but I can praise Him in the rain. And He has equipped me for this journey. And through praise, I will continue on this journey. Through praise, He is empowering me and equipping me for the journey. So as a wanderer and a traveler, my provision will come through praise. Joshua was a pioneer praiser. That praise produced provision. Because in Joshua chapter 1, that's where the Lord told Joshua, "Now therefore arise, go over Jordan, and every place that your foot will tread upon, I've given to you. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory." But there was a Jericho in that territory. But let me tell you something. He was operating as a producer, and he was operating out of liberty. He was operating as the harvester. He was operating as he was shielded. He was operating to divide the evil from good. And through praise, as they marched around Jericho, God brought the walls down, and through praise, He gave victory. And He will give us victory in our lives. Well, who's the sixth son of Judah? That's a good question. I don't ask Alan. Alan, come up here. The praise band and whoever they've got for the team for altar call. I want y'all to come back up here. You see, we can face giants. We can defeat the enemy. And we can occupy the place that God has ordained for us. And in doing so, there's going to be battles. There's going to be complicated episodes of life. Can I just say it? I don't get downright personal. Your kids can become heathens. You may, we talked about this earlier this morning in life group. Your parents may not have been the best parents in the world. You may have been mistreated. You may have been through spousal abuse. There's all kinds of things in life that you may experience that may not seem fair. And quite frankly, it's not fair. But God never said everything's going to be fair. But He does, if you allow me to paraphrase it and summarize it, He does say that He'll make a way where there is no way. He's the way in the wilderness. Yeah, He's the way maker. That's right. And as we praise Him, as we worship Him, as we give Him glory and honor and praise, even in the midst of the lion's dens and the fiery furnaces and the facing the walls of Jericho, and when an enemy with one million or so soldiers are coming against us, praise will bring us into a special place with God. Five sons of Judah's praise. Five sons of praise, and their names are indicate that victory in different facets of life. Praise will bring you into victory in your life. I believe that. That's my word for today. Praise will bring you into victory in your life. I asked Brother Alan Doyle to bring his shofar, and he's standing behind me. Let me tell you something about the shofar. Adam, give me a little bit of drum right there, sir. The shofar, which is a ram's horn. And I asked Alan if his was real. Some of them are synthetic. The way you know if it's real or not, you can stick your nose down in it and it stinks if it's a real one. Because sheep stink. Some of y'all will get that later. The shofar is commonly used among Judaism, and it's primarily during Rosh Hashanah and the Jewish New Year and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. But in Judaism, the shofar was typically blown or used to call people to a spiritual awakening and or repentance. Christianity, the shofar is not used in all areas of Christianity, but where it is used in Christianity, it's more or less, more so blown and used as a symbol of God's voice. It's symbolic of the voice of God. It's used to declare the return of Christ. Keep going, Adam. It's used to include the return of Christ or to make that announcement. It's used for prophetic declaration. And it's used to invoke worship. And it's used to invoke praise. You know, I love the African American church. I really do. I love watching services online very, very often, actually. And I just wish I could do it when our African American brothers and sisters take praise breaks. You know, I love it. I love it. I wish I could. I told my wife the other day, I wish God had given me the gift of dance. But there's power in praise. Praise Him in the midst. Praise Him in the midst of your circumstance. Praise Him in the midst of your confusion. Praise Him in the midst of your crisis. Praise Him because, why? Why because? Because He heard your cry. Praise Him because He's Almighty God. Praise Him because He has blessed you. Praise Him because He cares for you. Praise Him because He has delivered you. Praise Him because He has took away your sin. And doing so, He has saved you. He has justified you. Because He has kept you, just praise Him. Alan, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in this house right now. Will you lift your voice? Will you lift your hands? Will you praise the Lord in this room right now? He is worthy of...